Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and another episode of Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, with my co-host and teacher for the morning, Evangelist Hope Broadus. We are excited about what God is going to speak this morning, and I know that Hope, He's going to use you greatly, 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 greatly. The topic this morning is, what are you going to do? Is that right, Hope? What are you going to do?
What will you do? What will you do?
What will you do? So in that, Hope, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now, asking the Lord to just go ahead and use you, use you, use you, use you, use you. Amen?
Amen. Okay, we're going to be coming from Acts 5, beginning with verse 12, ending at 42. So I'm going to go ahead and read all the scripture first, and then we'll see what God's got to say. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together, and with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Now I say to you, keep away from those men and let them alone. For if this is a plan or this is the work of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had counted, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Amen. Jesus says, what will you do? God's asking, what will you do? Are you built to last? Will you take a stand or buckle? Regardless of what they say, will you continue on for my name's sake? How aggressive will you be? How bold will you be? And so that's what, you know, the scripture we see, I like how it's just plain and simple. Regardless of what happened, you know, the angel first said, okay, I want you to go stand in the temple and speak to the people. And when they heard it, they got up early in the morning and they taught. So here they are brought before council time and time again. Yeah, okay, whatever happened to them, they went out and did the same thing what they were supposed to do. They went and they taught and they called them out. You know, Peter said, excuse me, y'all are the one that murdered him. It was y'all that did that. And I look at how the church, you know, we've talked about this, Valerie, about the church today. I mean, it's not a big secret about how everything today is how everything is sensitive to people's feelings. You know, it's bring them into the church, make them feel good, and then ease the word on them. Don't be too hard on people. Don't be calling them out. Don't be calling their sin out, because then they'll leave the church. And that's the point that God is making. He's like, okay, well, what will you do? What is the point of being sensitive to somebody's feelings? Sin is not sensitive. Sin destroys. So how long are we going to keep being super sensitive to people or trying to build, a mass of, build a membership. That's the word I'm looking for. Versus being more concerned with calling out the person's sin and teaching them about Jesus and that Jesus offers salvation, you know, calling them to repentance. We pointed out Jesus draws, they repent, and they're converted. So if we don't speak out and take a stand, how are they going to be able to get to that point? I tell you all the time, I need you to be black and white about the situation. I don't need to hear all this other stuff. Sometimes people call me blunt, but I feel like, look, I don't need to dress anything up. It's like this. It is what it is. This is wrong, and this is the consequence of it. But guess what? You can change it. We can fix it.
Yeah. We have the ability. I think even in what you're sharing about, you know, what will you do? I know for Denny and I, just in these last 24 hours, God has put some leverage on us, asking us if that same thing, you know, what will you do? What do when you go to a cookout that's a birthday party and people say to you, will you pray for me? Okay, yeah, I'll pray for you. But then when you think in your mind, okay, it's going to just be this, but God turns that thing around and makes it something completely different, there wasn't an opportunity for us to go, oh, wait a minute, whoa, this is too much. We didn't ask for this. We thought you just wanted this, and we'll do this, but we're not going to do that. We don't have that. We don't have that luxury of telling God, I changed my mind.
Exactly.
Because if he were to change his mind on us, my God,
Lord help us.
We already understand that we are much undone had it not been for him. had it not been for him. And then, you know, we're going to pick and choose how we serve him. We're going to pick and choose what we do for him. We even pick and choose what we want to give him access to in our lives.
Yeah.
And that just can't be. That can't be. Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead. Teacher.
No, I mean, this is just, you know, in Acts. I mean, here it is, and it's coming again on leadership. This is leadership that that we're talking about here. You know, we have to take a stand. We cannot sit here and say, well, you know what? If we do this, okay, let's go there, because we've been on this before. People are so consumed with building of the membership and not just doing what they should be doing. In other words, you and I know very well, and we've been through this many a times, we've discussed this during Bible study, you know, that we don't think that we are being effective enough, or that we're not doing enough, we're not seeing enough. And but it doesn't matter if it's what we think. It's what matters is that we just do. We want to, all we're concerned about is hearing him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not about how man looks at our ministry and says, well, you know what, they're no threat, they're not doing anything, whatever. We get focused on what they say. And looking at this, They didn't care. The apostles didn't care what people said, regardless of what they went through, put in jail. Time and time, they were captured and brought before the council and heard this. What did they do? As soon as they were let go, as soon as they had beat them, as soon as they had said all this, they went back and did the exact thing that God told them to go stand and speak to the people. So regardless of what's going on in this world, regardless of how people are going to react, it is our obligation. We are ordered to go and to speak.
Right.
And we have to do it with boldness. We have to.
Yeah.
People need to understand the severity of sin. That's like me sitting here watching somebody put their hand on the stove and I'm like, don't put your hand on the stove because you'll get burned.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, I want to do
uh-huh.
it anyway. And for me to discern, I say, well, okay. They burn their hand.
Right.
Versus me sitting here saying, oh, yeah, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's see. You'll be okay. We'll just put some medication on it. You'll be fine. Instead of being like, look, no, that could be detrimental. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It'll just sing for a minute, but it'll be okay. It'll sing for a minute. Yeah, sin will sting you for a minute, but it has an everlasting effect.
Exactly.
Because there are consequences that come behind our sin.
Yes, the sin is being downplayed. Let's go to the big one. Like, I remember a ministry where child, every sin was called out except for adultery. Well, why?
Ooh,
because the leader was involved in that. It's okay for you to call out everything else, but no one would rise up against the leader. Why? Because he was the leader. We can't go to him. He's a pastor. What? I was like, what? So he can call me out on everything, but we can't address him. How are we going to function even as a body if the head is all screwed up? That don't make no
Come
sense.
On. Come on. Yeah.
So Valerie, even I'm saying, even with between me and you, I mean, you call me out, but it's because you know, I'm just talking on a personal level, you know what my purpose is, and
mm-hmm.
you're trying to help me. And the thing is, okay, I want to receive the criticism. Mm-hmm. I want to be called out because I want to be better. You know, we're not looking for those who want to say, all I want to hear, can you please just speak only positive things to me? I don't want to hear anything negative. Mm-hmm. I want to be in the great la-la land of lollipops and just where everything is good and fruity. But they don't want to hear anything that's negative. They don't want to hear they don't want to hear correction.
Correction. Yeah, and we know the word tells us that God chastens those that he loves. So if you're in relationship with me and you're in covenant with Empowerment Place Ministries, if I don't correct you, that says I don't love you. I don't care about what God has called you to do. I don't care about, you know, your purpose. I don't care about you manifesting that which God has given you. I don't care. If I just let you do whatever you want to do and I never say anything about it, excuse me, Susie, but you're out of line. You need to get it together.
Right.
If you never hear that from me, you better check our relationship because
that's probably correct.
Is not genuine.
That's correct.
But
when
you are connected to me, I'm going to say, excuse me, but you crossed the line right there. You need to bring that back. You got something you need to get that right. Because
correct.
In the kingdom, God placed us here because we have a work to do. That's everyone to hear, and everyone who wants to fulfill purpose in the earth. God has placed us here to be his mouthpiece. We have no hands but ours, no feet but ours. That he wants us to get things done, but we have to do them in such a way that we bring no shame to God, but he gets all the glory, the honor, and praise in what we do. We don't do anything to be glorified in ourselves.
Correct.
And we talked about this on Wednesday night when we were finishing up Nehemiah. You have got to know that as you go forth in purpose, as Nehemiah did, you have to go through not expecting to be patted on your back, not expected to have your name called out and, you know, your name and life and all of that. You can't even go in this expecting that you're going to get glitz and glamour because that's not what God called us to. We've got some of us go into the hedges and the highways and compel those to come who are lost. And there's so many people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many people who need to feel the touch of God, to know that they're loved and they're important and they have purpose in the earth. And when we do things like that, they don't have a pedestal to stick us up on, and we should not expect them to stick us on a pedestal because it's not us, but the Christ that resides on the inside of us
drawing
them closer to him. So, you know, we can't be afraid of this gospel. We can't be afraid to do the work that God has called us to. We cannot be afraid and ashamed of who God has called us to be.
Amen.
And if you're the apostle or the lay person at the door, it does not matter. God desires to be glorified through you. But
Amen.
You have to come as a prepared vessel before him. You can't come to him shucking and jiving and being before the people, and you know your stuff dirty and stinks, but you try to put on some perfume to cover it up and you ain't washed it with the blood of the Lamb. You got to be washed. You got to be cleansed. You've got to be renewed. Your spirit has got to be renewed. You've got to be made whole through Christ. So that after you've done all you can do, you can continue to stand and give him glory.
That's right. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Glory to God. God wants so much. My God, he wants so much. And God is teaching us hope, and you know this too. That we have got to be ready in the drop of a dime now. It used to be that the world was, and, you know, for a preacher, you know, you get the assignment, you get in the book a little deeper, you start, you know, working on God, what do you want me to do, and you flow with that. But now God expects us to be living epistles, being read of men all day, every day. Not just on a Sunday morning when you show up to teach Sunday school or preach the word, but all day, every day. God is saying, no, I need you to be right before my people. I need you to be upright before my people. I don't need them to see a spot or wrinkle on you. I don't want them to see you come ducking up out the hotel or coming from behind the building or getting out of that married man's car. I don't want to see any of that, and you don't have an excuse. He said, damn, that's your good words be even spoken of. Don't tell me, oh no, I was just helping them out. Don't let your good words be even spoken of. Don't give me that. Because that could have been done a different
Thank
way.
You, Lord.
How dare me? I'm married to a wonderful husband, and you're going to see me getting out of some other married man car talking about, oh, Andy, I just had to pray for him. Well, get out your car and let's stand right here and pray. I'm not getting your car.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm.
We are living epistles being read of men. In no way, shape, or form should we be seen doing anything that would look compromising before God. I don't know why God took me there, but whoa.
Compromising. Yes.
Yes, God. Yes, God. God. Mm. Enough is enough. I mean, and the question goes, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, people are like...
about your choices. Yeah, well, I mean, what are you going to choose? Because God is not going to make you do anything. He desires. He tells us in his
Correct.
Book, he desires that all men be saved.
That's
he
right.
He desires that. But just because he desires it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
That's right. Ooh, Lord.
He desires that we do the work that he's called us to. That's what he desires. But it doesn't mean we're going to be obedient. Some of us would rather sacrifice.
Right.
Some of us would rather lose out instead of gain. He said, what does it profit the world, profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? You are seeking things to glorify yourself. You want the car, you want the house, you want the glitz, you want the glamour, you want all this stuff to try to big yourself up, and at the same time, you're going straight to hell.
That's right. Oh, wow. Wow.
What is it going to profit you to get all of that, yet you can't be obedient to what God has called you to? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Valerie, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Valerie, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I tell you, as for me and our house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to give him his due. We're going to render unto him. He said, our reasonable service. And I'm grateful to God that we understand that the more we grow into him, the more reasonable our service to him becomes. That, you know, last week it was just enough that I prayed on Tuesday. But because God delivered me and saved me and kept me from the hand of death, this week my reasonable service is to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's reasonable right now, and that's an hour a day. But guess what? The more I spend time with him, the more I see him do great exploits on the behalf of me and my family and those that are connected to me, then my service to him increases daily.
Glory to God.
Because he's just that good. He is just that good.
Thank you, Lord.
When we think that God, nothing is happening, God, I don't see anything, then all of a sudden he begins to drop it. He just begins to drop it because he said, even in the midst of the struggle, when you could have complained and given up and thrown your hands up and said, God, enough is enough, that's when you said, God, I can't do this by myself, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, God. And because we trusted him, hope, and because we still continue to trust him, he is doing just what he said he would do.
Exactly. The manifestation.
So for those who are listening this morning, I don't care where you are in your walk. I don't care. Well, yeah, I do care. Let me say it this way. Whatever it is you're feeling, wherever it is you are right now in your walk and in your relationship with God, God is requiring more of you. He's always been there for you, waiting for you to say, I surrender all, I surrender. God, I know I can't do this on my own, and I come to you asking that you would just do in me what needs to be done. Don't say, oh, I'm waiting to get myself right, because if it was up to us to get ourselves right, we would never be right.
That's right.
Because some of that stuff we don't want to get rid of. It's too comfortable. It's too comforting. We would never get right if we could do it on. We wouldn't need Jesus if we could do it on our own.
That's right. Yeah.
But because of him, because of the price that he paid on Calvary, because he gave up the ghost, because he knew that one day there'd be a battle full of sin. Oh, God, sin and sin some more. And he knew that there would be a hope that was sin and sin and sin some more. And because there would be a being for all the others who are on the line this morning, he knew that there would be a day that you would operate in your flesh more than you would hear his word.
Amen.
And he said, you know what, Daddy, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to pay the price for them, because if they believe on me and receive me,
yes,
I will give
God.
Them the
Thank
gift
you,
of eternal life. So he wants to gift you this morning.
Thank
he
you,
wants
Lord.
To bless you this morning. He wants to give you the opportunity to live life in its fullness. But he wants to know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead,
Evangelist.
I didn't talk. Glory to God. Just,
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank
Glory
you, Lord.
To God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're down to about 4 minutes, Evangelist. Anything else you want to share, you want to pray about, however the Lord is leading, I'm shut up.
You ain't going to shut up. You can close this out, but I will say this. that as for us, because I know we do know what we're going to do. We are going to take that stand.
Yeah.
We're going to preach the holiness of God. We're going to preach about his salvation. We're going to call sin out when it needs to be called out. We are going to take that stand, and we are going to do what he has called us to do, regardless.
Amen.
For his name's
Amen.
Sake.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So if you're feeling ostracized, if you're feeling criticized, if you're feeling like you're in it by yourself and there's no one to support you, guess what? You're in good company. You're in good company. You didn't always receive Jesus.
Mm.
And we know what he did for us. He wasn't always received.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Know the prophet is not received at home. Sometimes you got to go away from that you're used to, because what you're used to is not ready to accept who you are in God.
That's right.
But regardless of all of that, he's requiring that you do what's necessary to give him glory and the earth, for you to fulfill your purpose in the earth. So, Father,
thank
we thank you. We praise you, God.
Yes, Lord God.
This teaching time this morning, God, we thank you for your word, oh God, for how and act, God, you're showing us that we've got to endure some things, oh God, as we stay on this journey to do what you've called
thank
us
you, Father.
To. Father, that we've got to get up after we've been knocked down.
Amen.
Thank you. We love you. And God bless you all until next time. Be empowered.